Peter Wayne, and it was King David who made the statement that in the book of Psalms chapter 90, the days of our years are 70, and if by reason of strength they be 80, yet there is strength, labor, and sorrow, and we are soon cut off, and we fly away. Thank you for that great song. It does remind all of us that someday we will leave this world, and we will fly into the presence of Almighty God. But you know, until we do so, you and I have a life to live here. And there's so many things that can be said about this life. Henry prayed about it a moment ago. We've already mentioned, and in our Bible class this morning, we had a presentation of the Give Me the Bible telecast, and it was on the subject, how to vote. Not that we told anyone how they were to cast their lot, but that we gave, we believe, criteria that should be involved in making a calculation spiritually on how we are going to cast our lot this coming Tuesday. And I hope that if you haven't already voted, that you will do so. I am convinced that the future of this country involves you, and it involves me as well. There was a little girl one time who came to her father and said, "Dad, do all fairy tales begin with once upon a time?" And he looked at her and he said, "No," he said, "many of them begin with, if I am elected." Well, believe it or not, there are many in our world today who are making all kinds of promises about what they're going to do if they're reelected or if they are elected. And here's where you and I come into play. What do we do about all of this? What is the criteria that we use? Wouldn't you like to go back to having an America like we used to have? I am convinced that we can. This morning, I want to talk to you on the subject, America. Can she be renewed? We have a lot of people today that go through what they call that refurbization process, or perhaps what they really want to do is go back in and have some kind of makeover. They even have a tummy tuck, you know, or, you know, they have their eyelids lifted and all kinds of things to make them appear a little bit better. And I thank God for those that do. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. America needs a renewal and a revival as well. They really, really do. And what can we do to revive this great country? Sometimes people look through rose-colored glasses and they say, well, you know, everything's all right in America. And I'm here to tell you this morning that everything is not all right in America. There are some things that we can do to make her better. But let me ask you a question this morning. How do we see America? How do you see America? It's interesting that many of the politicians look at one another and they look at America and they see her in different ways. They see her in a little bit different light. And all of them are making all kinds of promises about what they're going to do. I'll tell you one thing. I will be glad when Tuesday is over. I'm tired of all of that political rhetoric. Are you? Two politicians were on the campaign trail one time. And they encountered one another near a roadside diner. And they decide to go in and have a cup of coffee. And they start shooting the breeze with one another for a little bit. And then they get up to leave. One of them said to the other, he says, "You know why I'm going to be elected?" And the guy pulled out a big wad of money out of his pocket, you know, and he held it up. He said, "It's because I am so generous with my personality," and he says, "I always give a waitress a big tip, and then I ask her to vote for me." And the other man said, "That's a fact." I always ask them to vote for you too. And then, he said, "I generally tip them a nickel." You have to think about that one, folks. But you hear all these kinds of promises that these politicians are making. We know that many of them are not true. It's not going to happen. But I'm telling you, there are things that we can do to restructure America and give her a makeover and bring this country back into line the way that God intended for her to be. When we look at our world today in America, we see a dramatic increase in a number of problems. We see a dramatic increase in crime. We keep hearing about it all the time and what people are going to do about it, but we keep having an increase in crime around our country. We hear about all the violence that is going on in America. What do we do to stave it off? What do we do to conquer that? We hear about moral decay, and there is much of it in our world. We hear about same-sex marriage. We hear about abortion. We hear about all these evil and corrupt things that people continue to reject as something that is okay, alternate lifestyles, but it certainly isn't in the eyes of God. We keep hearing about political scandals all around our nation. And many of those who are elected to Congress up in Washington, either the Senate or in the House of Representatives, many of them are corrupt. Many of them have no integrity. Many of them have no character. And many of them have been ousted from office because of their lack of credibility. We hear a lot about religious hypocrisy in our world as well. Why is all that happening? I think the answer is found in the book of Romans chapter 3 and verse 8, when the Bible says that there is no fear of God before their eyes. No fear of God. No respect for God. In the book of Psalms 36 and verse 1, the Bible says, "The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God." I want to share with you five things this morning that I think are extremely important for us to consider as criteria when it comes to electing a public official to office. I would tell you we need to go back and understand that a man who's going to serve in that Oval Office leading this country and in the most powerful seat in all of the world, and it really is, should be one who fears God, one who believes in Jehovah God, and one who honors God. Why does America, number one, why doesn't America fear God? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Why is it that America, our country, does not fear God anymore? Well, I would tell you, first of all, it is because our leaders do not fear God. The Bible says that we are to fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man, and it is. We must have a healthy respect for God. Holy and reverend is your name, the Word of God says, and He is to be whole. He is to be held by those of us who honor Him in reverence and in honor. But when we have leaders in Washington who do not fear God, I can tell you they set the stage for the rest of the country in which we live. Character doesn't matter anymore to many of those in Washington. We expect low morals from our leaders because that's the way they always are. We just know it's going to happen. Even in this election, I've heard people say, well, you know what? I'm just going to vote for the lesser of the two evils. It shouldn't be that way, folks. Scandals have become the norm in our country because America no longer fears God. We worship the things of this world instead of the one who made them. We worship the material objects of the world instead of Jehovah God who gave us all these great blessings. In the book of Romans chapter 1, the Bible says again, verse 28 and 29, they worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator who is blessed above all. And they do those things that were not convenient or those things that were not right before our God. The reason that America does not fear God today is because many are living by the opinion polls. I don't know when I have heard so much about opinion polls. I often think those opinion polls are skewed by the national media, the national liberal media, if you will. The trouble with polling is that nobody asks God what He thinks about a particular issue. I would to God that we had great statesmen like Lincoln. I would to God that we had great men like Ronald Reagan and others who bowed prostrate before their God in heaven and ask God to lead them and guide them in helping them to determine the course of this nation called America. The commandments of Christ are not multiple choice. They're not. For truth is not based upon opinions. And it is not based upon polls. We have a lot of people that believe that, however. Why doesn't America fear God anymore? Because Christians don't fear God. They don't. They don't respect God anymore. They take God's name in vain over and over again. They never show up to worship the God they claim that they honor and that they love. We follow the world instead of following the Word. We spend more time on Facebook than we do in Faithbook, in the Word of God. We worship tolerance instead of truth. Why, we keep hearing out of Washington that we ought to be more concerned about being more tolerant as a nation of these evil and corrupt things and apologizing for who we are. Folks, we don't have to apologize for who we are. We are the children of Almighty God.
Amen.
We do not fear God anymore because we are unwilling to take a stand and make a difference. Why doesn't America fear God? Let me tell you why America doesn't fear God. And it sounds strange. It's because preachers do not fear God. Many of them are afraid to stand in the pulpit as I'm standing this morning and declare this message to you. And it is a shame and disgrace. Many are afraid to proclaim the message of Christ. They preach popular ideas. They preach positivism. They preach, I'm okay, you're okay. They preach a psychology rather than simply preaching Bible truth and Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. But there's another thing that you and I need to remember. Do you know that many things in America today have been taken for granted? I don't believe any man who rules the country ought to take things for granted. I don't care who he is. Many things in America today are often taken for granted by those of us who live here. Salvation, number one, is taken for granted. It is true. But salvation is of the Lord, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the Hebrew writer said that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. But our salvation is taken for granted. You ask the average person on the street, never worship God, never gives to God, never reads the Bible, never prays, and you ask him, are you going to heaven? Oh, yes, I've been saved. Have you? It's not have you, but are you? We take it for granted. We take the Bible for granted, believe it or not. Do you know the Bible is still the bestseller of all time? It is. And many of you have copies of the Bible laying around your home. Maybe you have one in your automobile. Maybe you have one in your office. It is still the bestseller of all books that have ever, ever been published. But we take it for granted. For God said in the Old Testament of his own people, he said, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. We have more Bibles, but few know less truth today than they have ever known. Because they never read it. They never open the Bible to find out what God has to say about life. They never find out what God has to say about same-sex marriage and about abortion and issues that we just go along with. The book of 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1, the Bible says, let us cleanse ourselves from filthiness of the flesh and spirit and perfecting holiness, here it is now, in the fear or respect of God. We take the church for granted. We do. Do you realize that churches are dying all over America? Why is that happening? And why is it that our president would say we're no longer a Christian nation? Why would that happen? Are we becoming less Christian? Is it true that we no longer espouse the great truth of God? We're taking the church for granted, my friend. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians 5 and verse 21, as members of the body of Christ, that we are to submit ourselves one to another in the fear, here it is again, of God, the respect of God. We take the church for granted. We think she'll always be there. Nobody wants to be involved in the church. Nobody wants to participate in the activities of the church. But we believe that the church will always be there for us. Will it? Will it? Edmund Burke said that the best way in the world for the forces of evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. And for too long, we have too many people that are sitting on the sidelines watching everybody else out there fighting the battle for us, for Christianity and for the church and for the Word of God. Our freedom is often taken for granted. We live, we say today, in a free country, but do you realize that your rights are being stripped before your very eyes? They are. How long will we be a free nation? How long will it be before we'll be ruled by tyrants? This next election is a crucial election, folks. If we want a return to God, we better make sure that we do our part in electing someone to public office who will lead us and chart the course for this nation that will get us back to God. You see, the Bible says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. But listen to this. The wicked shall be turned into hellfire and all the nations that forget God. Are we a nation that has forgotten God? Is it possible for renewal? Is it possible for a makeover once again in America? Yes. But when we take these things for granted, folks, we remove that possibility. Americans have become slaves to sin. They have. They have. In the book of Acts 8 and verse 23, the Apostle Peter said, of Simon, I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. You know that many Americans today are being held in the bond of iniquity, the bond of sin. That's why we are where we are. That's why our nation is where it is. But that brings me to another point, thirdly. What's wrong with this country? Why do we need a revival? Why do we need a renewal? Why do we need a makeover? Well, you need to ask yourself that question. I believe before I would vote for anyone to serve in the Oval Office in Washington, I would want to make sure that they are on fire for this nation and determined to bring this nation to her knees and bring us back to the God who gave us this nation to begin with. We have grown cold. Why is there no fear of God? We've grown cold and the fire has gone out. The Bible, Jesus says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Do you realize, let me ask you a question, why has love waxed cold? Or why is it that we've grown cold and stale as a nation? Not only just nationally, but it happens in the family. We have more families that are dissolving today. What about all those problems? What about in our military? Morale is low today among our military. You listen to them talk. You listen to the generals talk. The morale of those who are serving in foreign fields for this country and fighting for the freedom that we have in this country is at an all-time low. Why? Why has the fire gone out in the church? Why has the fire gone out at work? Why has the fire gone out in politics? I can tell you why. It's because we have abandoned our God. We have lost our zeal for the right things, and we have quickened our enthusiasm for the wrong things. In Matthew 24:12, again, Jesus said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. The love of many shall wax cold. Don't you think about that. We have a lot of people today that are bashing America. They are. Because the love of many will wax cold. America bashing. We have domestic lawsuits. We have parental neglect. We have moral demise. We have spousal abuse. We have Christian division. All of that is because our love has grown cold and the fire has gone out. Jesus said to a church one time, because you're neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. And believe it or not, there are many who have waxed cold when it comes to preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Preachers no longer preach about Jesus being Lord and Savior. They preach about there being a multiplicity of ways that we get to heaven. Why, we can do it through Islam. We can do it through Hinduism. We can do it through Buddhism. I'm telling you this morning, in the name of Jehovah God, there is only one way to heaven, and that is through Christ our Lord. Amen. Let everyone that nameth the name of Jesus depart from iniquity. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19. Many have waxed cold in religion. Oh, outwardly they appear to be one thing that they're not really. For in Matthew 23 and 28, Jesus said, even so ye outwardly appear to be righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. We wax cold toward Christ. Matthew 7 and verse 23, Jesus said, and I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. We wax cold toward our children without natural affection. You hear more today about child abuse than ever before. We wax cold toward our children regarding abortion. Do you realize that even though there are advocates in Washington right now telling you that abortion is a viable means of birth control, it is acceptable, pro-choice should be the name of the game, that isn't what God said, folks. God says it's a sin, and it's wrong. Who are we to take a life that we have not given? God is the giver of life. That's what Paul said in the book of Acts 17 when he went to Athens. He said, in him we live and we move and we have our very being, even as our poets of old have said. The Bible says in him, that is in Christ, there was life and light. We have no right to take a life. 54% of abortions are because of unwanted pregnancies. Let me tell you, folks, there are different ways to stave that. 20% of abortions are performed on teenagers alone. You stop and think about it. Well, we have a lot of advocates today of premarital sex. They'd say it's all right. We've been denying our young people the pleasures of life all along. That isn't what God says. And there's a reason for it. God has a reason for it. You know, there is a thing called post-abortion syndrome. And many young people have experienced it. And because they've experienced it, many of them have taken their own lives. Suicide. You know, it tells you that there's a problem in America when the leading cause for death among our teenagers on the college campus is suicide. We got a real problem in America. A real problem. 70% of those who have abortions are unmarried. We need to get the country back morally. I've said all along, our problem is not a problem with the housing market. Our problem is not with the Dow Jones. Our problem is not with the NASDAQ or the S&P 500s. Our problem is not with unemployment. Many would want you to believe that. Our problem is a spiritual one. And when we call our nation back to God and we get back to those values and those mores that are not of society but the ones that we read about in the will of Almighty God, we'll change the nation. And it's the only way that it's going to happen. And that brings me to point number four. The results of all of this will impact us all. And I want to elect a man in Washington who realizes that. What are the results of all these problems that we've been talking about this morning? Well, homes are broken. Commitments are temporary at best. Most children live with one parent. And if you fall into that category this morning, please know I'm not speaking disparagingly of you or about you. I'm telling you, I understand your plight. But I believe that we need to do something in America to hedge that and stop it. And when we have someone in Washington who is claiming that same-sex marriage is acceptable and it's all right, what are we telling our young people? What are we telling the children of America? What kind of groundwork are we really laying? I'll tell you, we reap what we sow. And in the book of Romans, chapter 6 and verse 19, the Bible says, as ye have yielded your members servants of uncleanness to do iniquity, even unto iniquity, even so now yield yourselves members as servants of righteousness unto holiness. For the book of Galatians chapter 6 says, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. It is a true and lasting word that came from God. Because iniquity shall abound. But listen to what Romans 5 and verse 20 says. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound as well. I'm not just trying to paint a bad picture about America. What I'm trying to tell you is what it really is. And we're not looking through rose-colored glasses here this morning. And you all know what I'm talking about is true this morning. But I'm telling you, there is a greater truth than America's problem. And that is that God can forgive us. And God can raise us from the ashes of despair and corruption. Paul asked the question, shall we continue in grace in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Romans chapter 6 and verse 1. Can America be renewed? Last of all, what can we do to restore the America that we once knew? Well, we need to do right, first of all. The Bible in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 14 says of Jesus, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works, not zealous of evil and corruption. We must rejoice in the truth once again. For Hebrews 1 and verse 9 says that thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness from above all of thy fellows. I want you to notice what God says in the book of 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14. If my people, and I want you to know there is a contingency here. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Folks, if you don't think America needs a healing today, you're looking through rose-colored glasses. And that brings us to where we are. We must be involved. You can no longer sit on the sidelines and allow our country to continue to depart from God and hope for a better future. The Lord has given us freedom, and if we fail to hold on to it, we have no one to blame but ourselves. I believe that America can be renewed. I believe that America can be saved. I believe that with all of my heart. But it involves you. You must decide. And you're going to have an opportunity to decide this coming Tuesday. You will. And we need to let our voice be heard. And we must realize that our vote must be under God as a Christian. Get rid of your party allegiance and get back to God. And understand what Abraham Lincoln understood a number of years ago when he quoted the Word of God, when he said that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. He said that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is to have understanding. We need statements like this. We need men like George Washington, the father of our country, who fell prostrate before his Father in heaven and asked for guidance. America needs to pray. We need to pray again and pray that God will help us to bring about a real change in America, which we have needed for a long, long time. Will God continue to bless America? Will he? Will God continue to bless our U.S. servicemen? Will God continue to bless us with the freedom that has been sustained in this country? And for the honor and the integrity of many who have gone before us and set the great example? Will the eagle continue to be that symbol of our freedom, daunting through the sky and through the clouds? Or will it be that when Christ looks down upon this world and tears fall from his eyes because we did not get involved and because we did not do our part? Will God continue to bless this nation? Let me ask you another question this morning. It really is important that you deal with this question. Will you become a Christian and help preserve this Christian nation? It is a nation under God. You see, God needs you. He does. God needs you. And America needs you. And will you become a Christian? Will you? Will you humble yourself this morning as a child? Humble yourself and become obedient to the God of heaven. And may your allegiance this morning be greater to him because you believe in his Son Jesus Christ to be the Son of God. Believe in him and confess your faith in him. Many are afraid to acknowledge Christ today. But Jesus said, if you're not with me, you're against me. And if you don't confess me, I'll not confess you before my Father who's in heaven. Will you repent of your sin and get right with God? That's what America needs to do. America needs to get on her knees today, folks. And we need to go before God. And we need to say before God, God, we have transgressed your law. We have rebelled against your truth. And we ask for forgiveness. And one must be baptized into Christ in order that his sin might be forgiven, that it might be removed. We must be washed, cleansed. America needs a good cleansing today too, don't you think? And then we must be faithful to him, loyal to him. For Jesus said, be faithful unto death and I will give you the crown of life. You see, it's not where America has been. It's not even really where America is now. But it's where will she be in the future? And I'm telling you, it is time for Christians to rise up. It is time for us to quit sitting on a pew and do nothing about this country and thinking that we should not be involved. I have said, as I said on Give Me the Bible telecast this morning, it is time for us to get up and get involved in the political system of this country and do what we can to bring about a restoration of truth and values and integrity once again in Washington. And not only there, but even in our own local community as well. God is depending upon you. And I'm going to tell you, America is counting on you. It is true. It's so important. And I hope that every one of us will understand that we must never, ever, ever fail. We must not disappoint either of them. It's up to us. It's up to you. And if you're not a Christian this morning, Jesus said it succinctly, truthful, "He that is not with me is against me." You're either with Christ or you're not. And if you're not a Christian this morning, you're against Christ. Is that the way you want to live your life? Is that the way you want to leave this world? I hope not. I hope that you believe in Him, and this morning you're ready to make a commitment to Him. And we want to help you do that. But you have to let us know. You have to make that decision. But if you're ready, then we're ready. And God has been waiting, and He's waiting even now. The future rests with you. Let us stand and let us sing.